The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's terrific and tremendous Tuesday as we dive into the pool of truth and stay out of the dirty water of the enemy's marketing team. Just remember, media stands for making everyone dumber in America. First up, when we read the Word of God or hear the Word of God, how stoned or rocked are we? Next, construction is awesome, but we need to be honest about who this is for and why we're building this. We need to have an understanding of what's going on in the construction. And finally, we are made in God's image, but it's not often the way that others say it is. It is how God says it is.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. You won't believe this. Spiritual observations. You won't believe it. My life's insanities. I'm telling you, you're not going to believe it. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. If you use those numbers, I promise your phone won't explode, which is a good thing. Also, you can text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. That is for praise reports, prayer requests, pop questions, and trivia. Trivia, Dave, do you guys do trivia on your show? We do. We do trivia. Here's the first trivia question for you. In his Sermon on the Mount, what does Jesus say about tomorrow? What does he say we should do about tomorrow on the Sermon on the Mount? If you think you know the answer, you can text in 214-210-8483. Or you can call in at 972-445-0770. Keep in mind, pretty much everything is open for conversation. It's simple. Why? It's just a very simplified show. It's not professional radio. Can't be, won't be, won't be, won't be, can't be. It's just radio, folks. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Well, before we get anywhere, I have to tell you what happened. So if you were listening to the show at all yesterday, you heard that I was at the gym yesterday morning, and then this guy blew a gasket. Okay, that's just what happened. And then I was on my way here to the studio, and then somehow this other guy in front of me driving in the left lane somehow blew some kind of gasket and started to smash all of the signs on the don't go in this lane because it's the HOV lane. I thought, well, that's, you know, boy, I better be careful going home. I even said to you on the show, didn't I, T? I got to go home in a bubble.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, right? Driving home, I am right about a half mile from the exit at Del Rock on the 30. A Corvette, a red Corvette, by the way, comes by. I'm doing a soft 73, which is my way of saying, okay, well, I was speeding, but not terrible. I'm in the far left lane. From the far right lane, this Corvette must have been going about 125 or 130. And now watch this. Right behind him is another gray car following, like they're chasing each other, like it's in jest. Well, that car in the far right lane crosses over three lanes at the exact time that the truck in front of me moves from my lane to the next lane and from that lane to the next lane, and the last two cars smash. Right in front of me. right in front of me. I couldn't pull over, so I called the police on my headset, told them what I saw, gave them my information in case but then they pulled over to the side. Then I'm thinking, I mean, if that guy would have hit that other guy maybe 6 inches in front or behind where they hit, because they hit like almost exactly in the middle, there would have been cars twirling left and right everywhere. So I'm just thinking, what is going on around here? I drive
this Monday.
But then I drive to work today. I had a Cadillac that was 4 inches from me, and then they realized that they were drifting over in the lane. I'm just like, what is it? So my wife said, tell the audience to pray for protection. So that's what I'm praying. I said, I'm feeling like a marked guy. Something's going on. So you guys need to pray for my safety, or the only show you're going to hear, only sound you're going to hear on this show for a while is tss, which is no sound at all, if you get what I'm saying. Okay. Trivia question. In the Sermon on the Mount, what does Jesus say about tomorrow? What are we supposed to do about it? If you think you know, you're welcome to text in, or you're welcome to call in 972-445-0770 on the call. 214-210-8483 on the text. Let's cover just a couple things. Get right into the teach, which I think is kind of a cool teaching. I like this kind of stuff. For those that don't know, on a history basis, today is National Strawberry Sunday Day. I just don't know how you can go wrong with that. How can you go wrong with National Strawberry Sunday? Unless you don't like strawberries, right? If you're not, are you a strawberry fan or it's National Macaroni Day. Okay. Do you ever put any weird stuff in your macaroni? Okay, because we've put like onions and bacon in the macaroni and cut it up.
That was like normal.
Yeah. Okay. See. My wife also dropped this one on me. She every once in a while she squeezes out a can of tuna fish and puts it in there. So tuna and macaroni and cheese, which is just kind of like
a little different.
Yeah, it's like hamburger helper.
Yeah.
Only homemade.
Yeah.
Kind of thing without the pouch, I guess. It's also Chocolate Day. No way you can go wrong on that. I will let you know that on this day in 1863, the U.S. began its first draft for the military. I thought that was weird. 1981 on this day, Sandra Day O'Connor is nominated for the Supreme Court. And in 1982, Steve Scott runs the mile in a record 3 minutes, 47 seconds. And I just want to say, 47.69 seconds, I just want to say, I run, you know, well, okay. I walk really fast, which I consider running. And probably the fastest mile I've ever done in my life is closer to that, you know, 5:50, 6 minute mark when I was just in really excellent shape. Anybody who's running a mile in under 4, amazing. I mean, it's impressive to me. I just couldn't do it. This is beyond me. All right, let's get into the very first teach of the day, Zechariah chapter 7, verse 12. As you notice, I opened it up and said, when you read the word of God, do you get stoned? You're thinking, what? How do you allow? You allowed to say that? It's my hour. I pay for it. I get to do what I want. Here's what it says. Zechariah 7, chapter 7, verse 12. They made their hearts like flint so that they could not hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. So many people will understand flint as a hard stone, and there's a thing that I've realized at different times when I read my Bible, and I know you guys aren't going to like it, and don't get mad at me, and for those that know exactly how flint is put together by the compression of the earth, we're not going to go into that right now. Here's what I want to say. There's times when I go and I read my Bible, and when I go to read, when I start, I kind of have a lousy attitude about everything that's going on. When I finish, I'm always doing better because the Word of God does have that impact. But what I'm trying to communicate is if you're going in to read the Word, take a deep breath. Go like this. And then say to the Lord, let me clear all this stuff out. So it's just you and me. So for the next 1 minute, 2 minute, 5 minute, 10 minute, 15, 20, 30, 45, 55, whatever that time frame is, clear out. Take a break. Okay? In other words, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you through the Word of God. But see, these people, they couldn't hear the law. They couldn't hear the Word of God because their hearts were like flint. They were hard like stone. And they couldn't catch anything the Holy Spirit was trying to tell them through the prophets. As we read, now if a prophet speaks to you and you know it's a prophet, then you probably want to take heed, but he better come up with a lot of backing and a lot of ID. Here's the bottom line. When you're reading the Word of God, the Holy Spirit takes that thing that you read and does something in your system by breathing life into it. But if you've got a hard heart to start, one, you'll find the word either very boring, or two, you're just not going to get anything out of it. It's going to be like, and most of the time, okay, let me rephrase that. All of the time, that's your fault. Not every read in the Bible is the greatest read ever, because then there would be no such thing as the greatest read ever. Not every time is it just, you know, the flowers and pancakes and Skittles and rainbows and so on and so forth. But a lot of what we miss in Scripture is because we come in unprepared. And if you were going to meet with God and he was going to communicate something to you, I'm going to just go way out on a limb and say, you'd probably take a shower. You'd probably brush your hair, brush your teeth, put on some cologne and deodorant, probably do whatever you can to be like as prepped as possible before you go and meet the king. All right, I'll take it down a notch. If you were going to meet the president, you would probably do the same thing. Wait, let me take it down a notch. If you were going to meet a senator from this state, even if you didn't like the senator, you would still get dressed out of respect and appropriately prepare yourself and so on and so on. You can just go all the way down to like the first time you took your wife on a date. And you get dressed and you take a shower, use deodorant, right? A little extra teeth brushing. You know that little extra gargling that you do? Come on, you do too. And so my point is, there's a preparation that takes place, and there should be a preparation for us. That's all I'm saying, is that we should be a wee bit more. I feel like I went to Irish or something. I don't know what happened. But anyway, a wee bit.
A wee bit.
It's a wee bit more. Yes. Thank you. Anyway, so it's a little bit of preparation that we could be a little more soft-spirited, soft-hearted, and that the Holy Spirit can have more of an impact on while we're reading. And then that makes the word cooler, and it doesn't make it a chore. Reading your Bible should be an encounter. It's not always going to be the coolest encounter, but it should be more than not something kind of cool, because you are engaging with the King of the universe and what he has to say. So it's like, okay, maybe we can do a little better. That's all I'm going for. Trivia question. In the Sermon on the Mount, what does Jesus say about tomorrow? Take no thought for tomorrow. Stop worrying about tomorrow. You can't do anything about what's going to happen tomorrow, even if you don't even know if there will be a tomorrow. Let's concentrate on today and start from that perspective. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
My life, it feels like I've been running.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven, and that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
But Jameer, are you there with us?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think you have an answer on how many days between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension?
Is it 40 days?
That is correct, sir. You are a winner. Very nice. Did you have to look it up, Jameer, or did you know?
The funny thing is, I was reading this book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, and then it was just talking about how God, like, transforms a lot of people's lives in 40 days, you know, and that happened to be one of the things that he was speaking about. So that was funny. I had just read that today, too.
Wow, great timing.
It taught me something. It taught me something, too. So it's funny how you just spoke about it on the radio show, so I just had to call in, man. I always listen, so.
So the trivia question actually had a meaning for you.
It did. And now that just pushes me to, like, be more into also my Bible, because if I was, like, I should have known that, you know what I'm saying? So. But, you know, that taught me something. I thank you for at least having that question, because there's a lot of people who didn't know that, you know, so you're still teaching a lot of people. So thank you.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Many of you are thinking, is he go back on coffee? No, I did not. Tierra, terrific tea, right here. Can witness, I only have water. Just water. Is it true? Just water, right?
Very true. I'm witnessing it now.
I forget that oxygen tank that I'm using to the side, breathing every so often. Just skip that thing. No, I'm kidding. All right, so the bottom line is, I want people to recognize from that last thing that we just talked about that sometimes when you come to the Word, just take a deep breath. I'm not trying to put any legalistic anything on you. Don't start, you know, dropping legalisms in your life. Just when you get there, just go, okay. Now let's quiet everything down. Let's hear what you have to say. That's kind of the mentality. Don't forget, you can reach out to us, by the way, texting 214-210-8483. You can also call 972-445-0770. The next trivia question, they're going to get a little harder, but this is not real hard, but most of you know this. What happened to Daniel after Darius, the person in charge of the planet, gave orders. He gave orders specifically regarding a certain type of behavior. Daniel immediately went home and prayed. What happened to him? What was the result of his, I am going to pray to the Lord no matter what attitude? Something happened to him. Tell me what it was. If you know what it is, text it. Just what happened to the dude? Poor guy. Don't make it more complex. I don't want you to do that either. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. A great place to give. I think that video is still up there where when you give, it has this little goofy personal video where I go, thank you for giving, and da-da-da-da. Something weird. Anyhow, the bottom line in giving is that at the end of the year, you'll get a tax-deductible receipt because we're 100% tax-deductible. And the things that you give, be they a dollar or whatever, are always beneficial for the ministry so we could advance them and keep them going. And so that's the kind of the thing you want to really go after, is we're trying to just move things forward the best we can, and we need your help to do it. And we have some ministry partners, but the majority of everything we get comes from the people that listen. And we're moving that way fully. Okay, so that's a little hint, but I'm not going to tell you more than that. The website, hemustincrease.org, plus there's some cool stuff on there. Every once in a while, I throw something up there and don't tell people. Like I said, there's a kitchen sink on there. Battlestar plans for a battlestar. These are the spiritual things you should be looking for. Okay. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. We'll do our ministry partner the next segment over. I do want to remind you about your DNA. DNA. D, draw closer to the Lord. N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready, because you don't know what's coming around the corner, do you? You do not know what the news broadcast is going to be in 2 weeks at all. So you have to have a I'm consistent position. You can't be reactionary. You have to be actionary. Tommy Barnett once preached a message. If you don't know who Tommy Barnett is, he actually was very helpful for me in my life. But right after some of the cult issues, he was real helpful in getting me kind of squared away on a church life. And one of the messages he preached was, he said, people are overreactionary. This is, just to give you an idea, 39 years ago, 38 years ago. So it's a long time. And he said, he was teaching this group of people. He said, instead of being that way where you're just reacting, be actionary. Be forward action. Don't just wait for something. You know, it's one thing in boxing to be a puncher and a counterpuncher, but Christians just shouldn't counterpunch, because Jesus was actionary, not just reactionary. It's like, well, that's a very interesting point of view. I really gotta, you gotta process that and think about that. All right? Okay. All right? All right. So that's why we want the DNA active in our system. Let's get into the next T. Oh, I do. Did I do the? I did do the tree. Okay. What happened to Daniel after he gave thanks to God? When he opened the window, he prayed. And in fact, they said, don't pray. And he's like, watch this, right? See, this is kind of the issue that you have. It's like you are supposed to obey governmental authorities, okay, to the point that what they say is not a direct breach of command from God. If the governmental authorities tells you, go out and murder people, the answer is no. It's like, nope, not doing it. And so there's this point where you have to understand that the law of God is supreme, okay? The mix in the middle is where you got to find the wisdom, okay? When they say, well, don't do this or don't do this, okay? And you can, if you're paying your taxes and you're like me and you pay, you know, X amount, which is not a lot because I don't make a lot, but I write and I said, I don't want any of my money to be used for any kind of abortions, okay? Now, I know they're probably not going to honor it, but that's my position. That's my stand. They might ignore it, but that doesn't mean I can't say it. So there you go. All right, here we go. Watch this one, though. This has to do with this next step over from what we're talking about. Genesis 11:4. Says this, they came and they said, this is the Tower of Babel, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky, and let us make a name for ourselves, otherwise we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth. So there's some people and some commentators that believe that the Tower of Babel, the idea was to build like a space station. They were going to build it so high they were going to be in space and da-da-da-da, and it's like, nah, I don't think that's what they were thinking. They were like, it just, you know, I get it, but I just don't, you just get this idea that they're like saying, let's build something so high that people can see it so far. You know, it's kind of like a something you can see that everywhere, every people are, that you can see it, and it'll kind of be like a little marker, a little signal. And just in case you didn't realize that, it was the Lord who came down and said, because they're of one mind and one accord, it can be done. In other words, they can really accomplish quite a bit because they're really connected, which, by the way, is a hint for the church and for any other group, to be honest. When you're in actually one mind and one accord, there's much that can be accomplished. That's true in relationships. It's true in marriage. It's true in family. It's true in city blocks and streets that people live on. It's true in churches. It's true in almost any organization. If you're of one mind and one accord, not that you have conformity, but that you have the same vision, same process, wow, anything can happen. But here was the problem with what they did. Listen to what they said. Listen to the verse. Come, let us build ourselves a city. Come, let's build ourselves a city. Let us make a name for ourselves. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Push the bell. Push the bell. Do we have a bell sound? Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding. There we go. And here's why we would say that. Because the whole premise of why they were building was for themselves. We're going to do this for us. Ha, 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 ha. I'm going to do this for us. So the cause matters. When the cause is not for the body of Christ, when it's not for the glory of God, when it's not for purposes that are right before the Lord, when they're self-centered, self-directed, self-motivated, self-sufficient, that's when hamatiar, the word in the Greek hamatiar, comes in. And hamatiar means we miss the mark. It means you throw a spear at a target and you miss it completely. Think of like a javelin throw. And so the guy's got the javelin throw, and you know they throw it a really long way. Well, think of a target maybe 50 yards away, and then you throw it at the target, you're not even on the board. You're so far off. And for those gun enthusiasts out there, think about going to the range, and you put the target out there, and you're shooting, and you're like, how come there's no holes in the paper? That's because you completely missed the mark. That's why. And so that's what it's talking about. It depends on whose kingdom we're trying to build and why we're trying to build it. Because it's not just a matter of whose, but what's going on underneath or what's behind it. And the answer that you have to ask is, in these things that we're trying to create and trying to build, are we doing this in any way for a self-glorification? Whose towers are we trying to raise up? In 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 29, the Lord said, but God chose what is foolish in this world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in this world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, and even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, watch this, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. God's attitude is, if any of you think you're coming up here and when we're done and you're going to go, look what I did, you're nuts, okay? And not only that, but if you're building it for your own self-glory, you can count on one thing. At some point, in some way, in some fashion, be it here or eternity, God is going to break that building apart. If you're not doing it for the Lord, if you're doing it for self-glorification, makes you no different than Adam and Eve. When Satan said, hey, eat this, you'll be like God. They're like, okay. It's like, that is the worst thing you can do, to try for the creation to become the creator, is absurdity, the height of folly. And so why I point that out is, there's nothing wrong with doing a project. And many of us do a project. And I'm not talking about building a woodshed. Okay, come on. I'm talking about something that you're trying to do, that you're trying to leave a mark with, something that you're trying to leave a legacy in, something that you're trying to leave that has a permanence or a statement or your name written in it, or something that you're committed to. Why are you doing it? What's the purpose for what you're doing it? And are you doing it as unto the Lord, or are you doing it as unto you? Because if you do it as unto you, not only will God not build it for you, Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that take it on. But not only will he not help you build it, he'll work against you, just like he did at the Tower of Babel. That's where all the languages came in, and they all went, what? Huh? Huh? Okay, all right. All right, let's get the trivia question, and we'll exit. What happened to Daniel after he gave thanks to God by opening his window after the decree by Darius? He was thrown into the lion's den. Very interesting. He was thrown into the lion's den. He would do that and rather go through that than abandon his prayer. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
With his special guest today, Focus on the Family Trauma Specialist, Tim Sanford.
People, as they try to sort this out, they go through this, they go through maybe a litany or a list in their mind and try to evaluate, well, you know, is this this and is this this? And what you said right there is the key, that the core of our strength, the core of our ability to go on yet for another day in the midst of what we would consider to be chaos, both socially, politically, and in other realms, is the Lord. I mean, the Lord gives us the ability. Until he blows that trumpet, we are not done.
Exactly. And that's where we come back to, people ask me, well, again, the why questions that people all across the U.S. are asking. And my best theological accurate answer I can give them is, I don't know. I don't stop there. That is an accurate answer. I finish my answer then by saying, here's what I do know.
Excellent.
I know that God is still on his throne. I know that God knew what was going on. I don't know why that. Here's what I do know. God is still a loving God. He still is in charge. Here's what I do know. Here's what I do know. Here's what I do know.
The David Spoon Experience.
Amazing grace. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. So, quick reminder, if you want to get any of our intro music for free, livinginhisgrip.com is the place to get that. You can now reach us by texting, listen to what I'm saying, texting 214-210-8483. What's that number? It's 214-210-8483 for texting. If you're going to call in, you need to use the 972-445-0770 number. That's the one you can call in. The other one you text. Here's the next trivia question. Stepping it up a little. Wait, is here the last one. What happened to anyone who was not found written in the book of life? What happened? What happens to them? What does the scripture say happens to them? If you know the answer, 214-210-8483, text or call in 972-445-0770. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. I knew I had something. And then YouTube.
I was going to tell you YouTube.
Yeah. See, if I don't do it, I've got Tara. She's heard so much of this now. It's probably, when she gets to 2 o'clock, probably just wires through your brain going, I know what he's going to say. I know what he's going to say. It's just the teachings for you. That and the jokes. But the jokes are fewer because that buzzer, boy, you're good with that buzzer.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, I know. That's not good. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Let's now hear from our next ministry partner. Johnny Hill and Men of God Moving. Johnny and Mara. Mara's his wife. They are fantastic people, and we text to one another. It's been really difficult because I can't bring him in the studio. He can't do a phone thing. He's got to literally block out his afternoon, then come down here. And he's just so much fun. He comes in and we have a great time. And
he's a great guy.
He's a great guy, and he's growing in his own ministry, and we want to just be a part of that and help him in that. But from a moving point of view, if you're looking for help, this is your guy. Okay, you go to menofgodmoving.com or you reach to him through our site, hemustincrease.org. Touch base with him, and you tell him, "Hey, I heard it on the David Spoon Experience, substantial discount." I mean, we say that for a reason. He really does take care of people. And anything from an apartment to a mansion doesn't matter. If it's a commercial building, it doesn't matter what it is. They help. They walk people through it. He kind of tells you what's going on. He's got some of the best prices in the entire state of Texas. So, you got to appreciate that. Plus, he's a part of our show, so we love that. And we appreciate him, his wife, and his family. Great people. All right, so the question is, what happened to anyone not found written in the book of life? It's not a tough one, but you got to know. Now I'm going to do two teachings in a row. The second one, maybe, I don't know if it's more encouraging. This one's not encouraging. Okay, if you're looking for encouraging, this is going to be a correction. This is not quite, do we have that Bible baloney beatdown sound? Do you have that? Yeah, just play that real quickly, and then I'll explain to you why this is not quite that. So go ahead.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello.
It's now time for David Spoon's Bible baloney beatdown. Bible baloney beatdown.
I'll knock your brains out of your head, Annie.
I just wanted to hear it. It's so funny. Anyhow, the bottom line is this is not really that. This is just a correction to the emphasis that people do. So have you ever heard the expression, well, we're made in the image and likeness of God? I mean, I know you've heard it. It's a passage. It's more than in one space in the Bible. It's kind of all over the place, really. We understand it from the Old Testament and the New Testament. All I'm going to do is tell you the primary interpretation of that. The scripture says in Genesis 5:1, these are the family records of the descendants of Abraham. On the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Okay? Now I want you to catch that. So what people have done is said, because we are made in the image and likeness of God, Then, therefore, man is basically good, but has moments of badness. Wrong. That's not what it says. That's that buzzer all day long. I'll tell you why. Because it's not saying man is inherently good. It doesn't say that anywhere. In fact, Scripture, let's just talk about two people that said it goes the other way, is very clear that we are inherently evil, birthed with a sinful nature that's contrary to God. Isaiah 64:6 says, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. Okay, so I'm going to go out on a limb and go, well, that means that all the good stuff's not that good because they're like filthy rags. Wait, let's just go better. Let's go to the Messiah. See what he has to say. If you then, this is Matthew 7:11, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more the Father in heaven. So Jesus, along with Isaiah, okay, along with the rest of Scripture goes, well, look, okay, there's goodness that does take place, but that doesn't mean you are primarily good. It just means there's goodness that happens. Let's say the residue of God might be a nice way to think of it. But we need to understand, what does that mean that we are created in the image of God? You only have to ask God, what did you say? What did you mean? To find out what he said and what he meant. Genesis 1:26 through 28, let's see what God says. Then God said, let us, Elohim, by the way, in the Hebrew, plural, not talking about angels. All you got to do is read the book of Hebrews. No, he's not talking about angels in any capacity, Hebrews chapter 1. Let us make man in our, another plural, image, according to our likeness, another plural, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They will rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and the livestock over all the earth, and all the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and every creature that crawls on the earth. What people do is they often confuse made in the image and likeness of God with moments of God's really good qualities. And you can make an argument for that from the Psalms. What you can't do is eradicate what God says directly. And what God says directly is, let's make man in our image. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to make man in our likeness. They're going to rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock of the earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. God made man in God's image in that man rules over the earth like God rules over the universe. The difference is that man seceded or yielded that authority to Satan when he sinned. But when God made us in the image, he made us to be like God in that we would rule and have dominion. We are made in the image by the understanding that we also, like God over the universe, have dominion over the earth. So when all those people, let me just say this, I've been waiting to say this for a while. So for all you people who are earth firsters and tree huggers, you ought to stick that in your pipe and smoke it, because the reality check is that God made man to rule the earth. Does that mean man should be a lousy steward? No. But does that mean man should do nothing for the spotted owl? No. Doesn't mean any of that. And you're thinking, well, what about all the animals? God gave man all that he needed, but then when man sinned and ruined the system, which is what man did, then God turned around and permitted man to utilize the animals as beneficiary tools, whether people like it or not. The point is, people get up and they get these causes, and they get like a bee in their bonnet, and all of a sudden they think they know everything. It's like, you know, PETA. Oh, God would never say that. Okay, Jesus let thousands of pigs die so one guy could be free. So right then and there, everybody in PETA would have just fell over. Besides, PETA stands for people eating tasty animals. That's one thing has nothing to do with the other. The idea for you and I to understand it is God's mindset is, no, you were made in our image because you rule over the earth. It was a short rule because sin comes in Genesis 3 and man secedes his authority, yields it, gives it away to Satan. Now, one thing you'll notice is man still pretty much, but in a little bit of a darker sense, rules the earth. What animal can we not take out? Just name them. Name one animal that we could nuke. Name one. Go ahead. Can you name one? I can't name one.
Like a lion? Or
if you, what happened? You nuke a lion, he's going to be like, it's going to be like, you know, the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. Wile E. Coyote. It's going to be all over the place. Here's my point. My point is that's the primary scriptural method. And so there are times where we want to understand that God has such dominion that you want to pray that his dominion has, there's a restoration for us in our dominion and our living. I'm just trying to educate, just trying to make sure you understand what it is by scriptural reference. Don't get mad about it. There's no point in getting upset. And for everybody that loves animals, I don't hate animals. I have a dog that sleeps on my bed that's 80 pounds, sleeps there every night. Drives my wife crazy. I like it because he doesn't lean on me. All right, here we go. So what happened to anyone who was not found written, whose name was not found written in the book of life? They were cast into the lake of fire, Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. Very good job by those who got that. Excellent work. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment. Because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table. And somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it. Because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait. There's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You guys know you can reach us. The way to reach us by text, 214-210-8483. The way to reach us by phone, 972-445-0770. We do have people that text me privately or that send me an email privately for prayer requests. We are very, very diligent. You know, I've been to churches where they say, you know, hey, fill this out and you have a prayer request, you know, write it in there. And I've done that. And I think only a handful of times would I say people have gotten back and said, hey, we received your request. We're praying for it. It's not something we're sharing with people, but we're committed to it. And I appreciated their diligence in making that prayer petition something they joined with me in. And we would love to pray for you and with you on anything. Because it's just like, look, this is what we got to do for one another. Take care of one another. Love one another. That is part of loving one another. I do want to let you know my last trivia question. I'm not looking for a theological answer. Okay? That's kind of a forewarning. What was Jonah's reaction to the way that the people of the city of Nineveh responded to God's message? How did Jonah react? Okay? And the next couple of days, we're going to be doing some teachings on Jonah, so I'm kind of setting you up for that. We're doing a few teachings in the next couple of days on some miracles, the miracles in the Bible, the miracles in our lives. and different things of that nature. So you just want to get yourself ready. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Our email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. That's good. All right. I got an interesting teaching that I want to share with you. A mick sermon, if you will. See, we don't do long sermons. We do mick sermons.
Like, you know, I like the way that sounds.
Yeah, it's a mick sermon, you know. There's a couple of words in Christianity that are really good. So we have grace for our situations. And sometimes when you see just a little bit of grace, you call it a gracelet, like a droplet. Like, it's like, that's such a cool little thing. It's like, it's a gracelet. Oh, I'll take it.
I like that. Gracelet.
Yeah. It's kind of cool stuff like that. I like that. Oh, don't forget, August 2nd, I will be speaking at a church. Boy, are they going to be sorry. No, it's the church that I attend. It is in Rowlett. So for those that are far away, it will be streaming. It'll be on at 11 o'clock. It's the Stillwater Community Church. I'll be speaking for Pastor Kurt and Pastor Evan. And they've given me pretty much free reign, so I'm going to be talking about, I can't tell you. So we're fun not to tell, because if you listen, maybe there's a reason, right? It's like, well, what was he going to talk about? I'm going to give you the lotto numbers. All right, no, I'm not giving you the lotto numbers. Okay. All right, Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to do verse 1 through 4 and then verse 9, just so you can kind of follow along. The Lord said to Abraham, go out from your land, your relatives, your father, your house, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who treat you with contempt. Boy, oh boy, there's some people in government that ought to really read that passage. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. Verse 9, then Abraham journeyed by stages to the Negev. All right, now here's what I want you to catch. God called Abraham, and God called you. Okay, don't, you know, it's easy to go, oh, well, that's not the same thing. Well, it is to God. I mean, God calls his sheep by name. He knows who you are. He knew who Abraham was. He knows who you are. Called you by name. You're one of his. You're chosen. It's not an argument about free will. It's not an argument of predestination. The discussion is, did God know you? Did God call you? Okay? And it's like, that's not much of an argument there. God called Abraham. God called you. There are six I wills that the Lord gives him. Okay? He says to him, I will show you, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, I will make your name great, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who treat you with contempt. Six I wills from God. And God had him go from where he was to a new place. Okay? So, for example, you're at your house or wherever you're living, and the Lord says, wowzer, I'd like you to go to Memphis, Tennessee. Okay, you're going to go from where you live to Memphis. Okay, okay, got it, right? So Abraham journeyed, verse 9, by stages to the Negev. So he went in stages. So you might not make the drive to Memphis without stopping, getting more gas, getting some food. I'll tell you a couple places not to stop. And then, this is what I'm saying. You're like, maybe you go to a restaurant. Maybe you go to a rest stop area, one of them provided by the state. Maybe you get a meal. Maybe you take a break. And maybe if you want me to use a better example, you're in Texas and God says, go to Maine. Okay, along the way, you're going to take a break. You're going to stop. It's going to be in stages. That's the whole point I'm trying to make to you, is that the things that the Lord has put in your path for you to go to does not mean that you transport there like you're on a Star Trek ship and they just have a transporter and they say, okay, well, beam me down to the planet. And it's like, doop, okay, you're at the planet 5 seconds later. It's like, that is not how it works. Don't misunderstand. I wish it worked that way. It just doesn't. When Abraham journeyed to the place that God had established for him, he did it in step-by-step fashion. And what I think that Christians tend to forget is the Lord says, hey, we're going here. And they're thinking, we're there. And it's like, no, you're going to get there in stages. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all with unveiled faces are reflecting the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, which is step by step, which is that whole Three Stooges routine, step by step, inch by inch, you know, moment by moment. And the idea for you and me is to understand that God has a place for us that we're going. Ultimately, it's heaven, but everything is done in stages until we get there. And it's like, okay. And you say, well, how do you know that that works theologically? Because of Philippians 1:6, it says, I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion unto the day of Christ. God doesn't start a work in you and then stop and go, eh, I'm done. I built half a model. That's fine. You ever see that commercial where they show that dog and he's half sheared and then they leave the other half? Just like, who's paying for that? Nobody. It's like, what are you talking? Well, that's how it is in your walk. And the Lord has places for you to go and things for you to do. There's stages that you have to get to. There's one, the children of Israel used to go from one well to another, and every well was just a little bit further than the one past, just so that they could stretch out a little bit. These are important elements to understand in your Christian walk, that God lets you go through point A, point B, stretches it out a little more to C, point D, point E, stretches a little bit out on point F. All in stages. He is going to get you where he wants you to go, but he's going to do it step by step and glory by glory. And you're going to get there. And I think what happens is we lose sight of where the end goal is, or we think God has failed because we don't see the end goal, because we forget that it's in stages. And you can't do that. Your Christian walk with God is step by step, until he brings you to the promised land. In the meantime, you will go stage by stage by stage by stage as he sees fit and he determines. And you might be thinking, but in this journey, I thought it would be this or this or this. It's like, fantastic. I thought it would be, I said yes, and Jesus was coming back in the next like 30 days. I was only 41 and a half years off. And it could be another 40. I don't know. But it's step by step by step by step. It's the same promised land we're going to, where I'm going to, is where you're going to. It's the same thing we're envisioning, but it's a progression. And he gets us there piece by piece. So patience, vision holding, cementing that vision, maintaining that vision, and recognizing each stage has a purpose unto itself, even if it's just to get you a little further to the next stage. All right. See, that's a really important lesson for us to understand. And you being a child of Abraham should just follow that. Well, that makes sense. Just look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 9. You'll really catch it. All right, last thing we were talking about, Jonah's reaction to the way that the people of the city of Nineveh responded to God's message. He got mad. He was angry. He was really upset that God was merciful. Uh-oh. Yep, there I am. I just hit the cough button. And he was really upset that God was merciful. And we're going to dive into that like tomorrow and Friday and so on and so forth. Okay? All right. Great job, everybody. Thank you very much. Sorry I hit the cough button at the very end. That's my fault. Leave me alone. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.